Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
How have you been, amigo?
Just laughing. I'm just going to laugh, man. I don't know.
Just laughing?
The man's trying to keep me down.
All right, then. Whatever that means.
Well, just, you know, life or challenges or whatever. It just seems like it's been an interesting past week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to keep up with it. I feel like that's my slogan, trying to keep up with life.
Well, yeah.
But
I'm trying to develop the mentality that life happens for me, not to me.
Yeah.
And it's pretty hard sometimes to think of that.
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster, you know? I mean, you have your ups, you have your downs. I wouldn't say that I'm down at the dumps or depressed or anything like that. I just like to see my life simplify a little bit.
Well, just remember, you try not to control that which you can't control.
Exactly.
That's a huge challenge. But this beer helps.
Yeah, I'm going to get to this beer because this is a blind. This is the first time we've ever drank a beer on the show blind. Mm-hmm. Usually we try the beers beforehand to make sure that they're worthy of being on the show. But before we get to the beer real quick, I want to, we did announce the scholarship, so you can get off my ass about that and everybody else, you know, and our raffle ticket drawers, our winners, they were announced. And then we've been posting that on Facebook every couple of days, putting somebody else, you know, out there, their picture and stuff like that.
Which is awesome, by the way.
And some people are like, why don't you put their full names on it? It's like, well, you know, we're trying to be respectful of their that and not getting some legal stalker status type BS or something like that. But it was funny because the first one we posted and somebody else was like, hey, that's my best friend's daughter, you know, who so-and-so's daughter, whatever. It was like, so much for anonymity.
Operational security.
No, but I mean, it's going to come out. And of course, if the individuals who won, you know, want to come out, and of course, you know, we definitely, as we grow the scholarship program and stuff like that, we're going to want those people to talk and you know, let us know how it helped them and stuff like that. And so we're going to create something on the webpage where we list their thank you letters too and stuff, because I think it's pretty inspiring, especially for those who are supporting Beer Army, to see like, hey, see what your, you know, some of your money's going to. If you're supporting our for-profit activities, if you're supporting our nonprofit, what the money is going directly to, you know?
Exactly.
And I think it's really important. And I think it helps motivate and you kind of see the bigger picture, so to speak, or whatever. So,
it's honestly inspiring to see these, well, at least the first one that I saw, you know, the thank you letter from the Wake County recipient.
And yeah, Laura. Yeah. And then getting ready for fantasy football, man. So, House Mouse Scott's dusting off the trophy. I think we're going to Shanghai you into it. I know you haven't played fantasy football before, but you know football.
I do.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, I've been watching preseason. I passed out on the couch yesterday watching some preseason games.
I think a thing I love about fantasy football, it makes you more of a fan of football in general. It's not just one team per se. And then what ends up happening is the guys on your roster, you're watching multiple games and then you're rooting for one guy and then you're yelling at the freaking quarterback, no, hand it off, don't throw, because maybe you have that running back on, you know, on your roster or whatever. So I think it definitely makes it more interesting. And just really excited about it to get back into it. And speaking of football, that's one thing we've been getting hit up about. They're like, hey, you can put some TVs at Beer Army Burger Company. And we're in the works to do that. You know, we don't want to turn it into this you know, just TVs wall to wall or anything. But,
yeah, I mean, it's not so much a sports bar.
Right. And so we are going to put a couple downstairs. We'll have the one upstairs. But we're doing that. The problem is the building is, again, over 150 years old. So.
Oh, excuse me.
You good?
Yeah, I tried to stop that. I'm going to sneeze, everybody.
Once again, on a show like this, that's the reason why you need the video to really give it, doesn't do it justice the way I saw
it.
I saw you doing all this thing. I'm like, what is he doing? Is he having a Jesus moment? You know, it's like. But really excited for football season. Just really excited for football season to start. So, so the beer. I know this, I haven't even told you. You've been drinking it. I know you're probably
mystery
wondering
beer.
What the hell. So this is another repeat brewery. To be more exact, this is our first three-peat brewery, and we featured them back in episode 111 of Mountain Boy, and again in episode 127 with Crash Landing, And this bad man by Jamba comes back from Double Barley Brewing out of Smithfield, North Carolina. It is their Gourd Rocker Imperial Pumpkin Ale.
Okay.
Porter. I'm sorry. Imperial Pumpkin Porter. And we're hanging out with our friends down there at DB and Mark Kirby. And, you know, we were talking about it. And he's like, hey, dude. He goes, so he was hooking us up or whatever. And I was like, oh, thank you, amigo. And I've been hearing so much good news about this beer and anything that they do. I have yet to have a crappy beer from Double Barley. And so, obviously we have a special partnership with them. They support us with Give 'Em Hell. They've supported us. Jeez, you know, well, we supported them before they were, even, you know, a legitimate brewery or whatever, when they were just in their home brewing days. And, you know, Cheryl and Larry Lane, again, if you want more information about Double Barley, go back to the original show that we featured in episode 111, Mountain Boy, where we had their Thrill and Vanilla. And we talk about that, about how they founded it and, you know, their backgrounds, both being NC State and engineers and stuff like that. And just great people. And
yeah, they are.
They're doing a lot of other good philanthropy, too. It's not just with Bear Army Foundation. They do a lot. And so they're just really, really cool people. And it's really cool to see how the brewery is growing. And every single time I'm down there, it seems like they're adding some new little gizmo or whatever.
Did you get to smell the barrel aging beers?
Yeah, no, I did. You know, and I was like, they had the rum barrel and they had a wine. I don't remember what exactly what kind of wine barrel it was, yeah, or whatever. But yeah, it was very awesome. And so this Gourd Rocker, the reason why we're featuring it is because as you're listening to it, this Saturday,
the 29th,
they're going to be rocking out with their what out?
Their gourds out.
Yeah, they're going to rock out with their gourds out. And they're having their release party. And it's going to have live music featuring none other than Emma Davis, which is their sales rep, because she's been in a band for like a forever. Good. And yeah, she's good. She's a singer. And so definitely check her out. But let's jump into this beer a little bit because we haven't really talked about it. So I was asking Mark, I said, hey, give me, you know, I think I'm going to feature this then, you know, because this is awesome. Cause I knew just, again, this is the first time we've had a beer blind on the show or whatever. And I said, give me, you know, why'd you guys decide to do it? And he's like, he goes, well, I've always wanted to make, you know, him and Larry always wanted to make a pumpkin beer. And he goes, they've never done one before. So he said they went to like several local bottle shops and they bought every pumpkin beer they can get their freaking hands on. And he goes, we sat in the office and we tried every single one of them and we figured out that a lot of them had too much spice in it and too much raw pumpkin. So we talked about the style and the flavor and, you know, the ABV, of course. And, you know, this isn't they released it a little bit earlier, was draft only and very select, you know. You know, if you got some of that original, then you're very, very lucky. And this was earlier this month. And, you know, when they came up, the original recipe is around 11% ABV.
Oh, we kicked this one up.
Yeah, no, this one actually kicked down.
Oh, they
kicked it down to 9.4 or whatever for a little bit more mass market, you know, easier consumption. A lot of their beers kind of fall in that 8 to 10 range, mm-hmm. It seems like. He says, you know, we only do 10 barrel batches of this beer because they use 100 pounds of pumpkin in the mash and another 100 pounds in fermentation. I mean, I was like, are you freaking kidding me, man?
Total 200 pounds of pumpkin.
Per 10 barrel batch. And, you know, and of course, they have to watch their volumes. And, you know, the hardest part about brewing with pumpkin is that it's a starch. You know, pumpkin is a starch. So when you're lottering, you got to be very careful because otherwise you'll start getting a stuck mash. And if you're not a home brewer or ever brewed beer, that is the worst thing that can happen to you because you have to, the grain bread gets stuck and you can't lauter. You can't get the, basically you're using this whole grain bed as your filter and you're washing the sugars out of that. But when it gets stuck, that means nothing's coming out.
Yeah, nothing's passing through.
And you can burn out your pumps and stuff like that too if you're not careful. But, and then you have to rake the whole mash and then let it reset. And then, you know, you got to, circulate until it comes back clear. And then you start lautering back off and it can make for a very long brew day. And, I really like the artwork.
Oh, the logo is amazing.
Cause I love that picture that you did with, the band with Mark Kirby. He was in the back there.
Crobot.
Thank you. And they're doing a joint thing.
Yeah,
with them
they
too,
a collaboration for a Crobot.
It's coming in October or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so Crobot, and I love it. So I love this because it has that heavy rocker
metal badass
type or this pumpkin, and it's got the
heavy
metal, you know, hand symbol and then a battle axe and a guitar and all that. But yeah, so this beer is definitely pouring. Obviously very dark, you know, it's almost jet black, I would say. And, you know, it had good, when I, when I initially poured it, the gurgling of the bottle and I really was digging it, and the you know, the color, well, if you put it up to light, I'm not sure about the clarity because again it's pretty jet black, but the head is this off-white, very creamy type off-white head. There's some lace that's clinging to the glass. The aroma is very malty, very malt forward. I'm picking up, obviously, the pumpkins. I'm obviously picking up some spice. I'm not sure if they got cinnamon in here or what, but I'm kind of picking up allspice, that cinnamon, that cardamom, and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I got to take another drink here so you can talk.
Well, I'll tell you what I love about this, and I was privy. I went up and caught up with Mark a couple weeks ago, and he let me sample this.
Yeah.
And when you poured it and I tasted it, I was like, is this, I've had this. But man, this is, it's absolutely, what I love about this beer is I'm with Mark and Larry on a lot of pumpkin beers are way too spicy.
Yeah.
And what I love about this beer is it's not, you get this, for me, what it reminds me of is, it reminds me of my grandmother's pumpkin pie with a layer of whipped cream on the top.
You know, that's funny you should say
that. It mixes so well. It's got this sweetness, but yet it's got that seasoned pumpkin flavor, and well, it all blends so well together.
As we talked about the aroma, as we go into the flavor, I was thinking about that. Like, it reminds me of like a sweet stout type beer. It's very velvety, like it's got oats in it or something like that too, and it's got the slickness on the palate. But you hit it right on the head. It's got like this whipped quality to it. And the flavor is, it's pumpkin, and when I describe those spices, hear what I'm saying. It's not over the top, and the alcohol, you can kind of taste it, but it's buried in there, and you're getting some of this bitterness from the roast. So there, you know, this is not a very hoppy beer or whatever, but it definitely hits you with the aroma. You're definitely picking up some pumpkin and some spice, and then as you're drinking it, it's very malty. It's almost fleshy.
Mm-hmm.
With like, you know, if you think of pumpkin flesh, I mean, I don't know if people have ever eaten pumpkin or whatever, but
it's got body to it.
Yeah.
You're right.
And it's kind of chewy, and it's got that velvetiness, and yeah. And then again, it's not over out of control with the spices or whatever, but the mouthfeel, I love it. It's got this velvety texture on there. The whipped cream, I love that you use that. That's a great descriptor to it. The body, I would say, is medium to full. Carbonation is good, you know, medium. The finish, I said, a little bit of slickness on the back of the palate, but yeah.
This will get you in trouble. But the thing is it's...
You'll rock out.
That sweetness with that whipped cream and the pumpkin, that sweetness that I pick up in this, as far as what it reminds me of, is that point when that whipped cream mixes initially and you taste it on your palate right with that pumpkin, right at that point. It's really cool.
And now after I've drank it a little bit on the back palate, like if I was to eat whipped cream, the aftertaste of whipped cream, that's what it reminds me of now that you said it like that. But again, that to describe like the fleshiness of eating pumpkin, I'm trying to think of other descriptors, but the fleshiness, I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm loving this beer. I like the story that they got on the label. Obviously this bottle doesn't have a label, but they say, our two gourds got together, craft an epic fall seasonal. So I'm assuming you're talking about Larry and freaking Mark. He said their mutual love of heavy metal and high gravity beer inspired this headbanging brew. Don't forget to wear your padded helmet, 'cause your gourd's going to get rocked.
Mark is a riot, man. That guy is a beer genius.
No, it's
he
awesome.
Is a total rocker.
And again, Mark, 29 August on your calendar. Get your butt out there. Listen
Smithfield.
To Emma. Yeah, listen to Emma belt out some tunes. And for this release party, because it's going in bottles. So get your hands on it. I guarantee you it's going to go. I'll tell you, not really change the subject entirely, but I did have Alaskan pumpkin, because I like Alaskan beers, and I had a chance to get some of their pumpkin when I went on my Wisconsin trip or whatever, and I brought some of that back, and I meant to give you some bottles of that too. My bad. You came over to my place and you saw the beer dump that I got right in front of my door or whatever.
Hilarious.
It's ridiculous, man. But the thing I was going to bitch about, though, is that in June, the end of June, I started seeing fall seasonal beers come out. And remember last year we talked about how soon they get pumpkin beers coming out. So I'm really appreciative to Double Barley for releasing their pumpkin beer at the end of August. Because as you go into September, you're really, to me, September's kind of the sweet spot of where the beginning of September, you know, boom, you should be going into fall seasonals. You know what I mean? So I appreciate them having the integrity and the backbone to not be like everybody else and release their shit 3 months early. You know,
yeah.
It's like you should be drinking, Hefeweizens and summer shandies and stuff like that, and Kolsch's, and you know, and already we're getting hit with friggin' pumpkin beers. It's like, come on, man. You know?
What I love about it is it's quality released at an appropriate time, and it's not just a novelty beer that a lot of places crank out and put out early because they know the market's going to be saturated and they want to be the first ones a few people try because they're probably going to get burned out on them because they're overspiced.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That's just...
He did tell me also, to change gears a little bit, that the Asheville market found out about Give 'Em Hell. They bought all remaining inventory from the distributor order, so it's like, it's gone. Because I was saying, yeah, for next year's Give 'Em Hell, maybe we should just do a smaller batch or whatever. And he just kind of looked at me like, eh, I don't know about that.
Awesome. That's great news. We got to talk about that next week.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. He's like, yeah, man. He goes, they bought it all. And I was like, awesome. Glad to hear it, man.
It's a great beer, and it is aging so well.
I still got, I started off with 2 cases. I think I'm down about 1.5 cases.
I know there's a case left out here, right? Or a few cases out here.
I don't know if we got any at the Beer Army Burger Company, to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
Oh, crap. All right, because I was going to buy one.
Well, I'll hook you up with one.
I was going to buy one because that beer is aging so well. It gets better and better the longer.
It does. It does.
And I buy a bottle like every month. So now we're about almost 6 months in.
Yeah, let's see. It was, what, the beginning of March?
March 7th.
Yeah, okay. Wow, look at you, man. Yeah. You remember that. Yeah.
Well, make sure you do stick around. We do have an awesome segment coming up. It's our Heroes Never Die. Those of you that listen, you know exactly what you're going to get. And for those of you that are new to the program, thank you so much for checking us out and stick around because we're going to highlight the awesomeness of actually 3 individuals serving our country overseas.
That's right.
But not in uniform at the time.
No, not in uniform. Well, only 2 of them technically have any kind of military relations. One's just a college student. But, yeah, it kind of happened towards the end of the week or whatever. And, yeah.
3 Americans.
Doing the deed.
Yeah, absolutely. Stick around. Wait till you hear this story.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org. Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, I am hugely excited about, as we talked about earlier, the scholarships and getting the awardees information and letters up there as well. But the big thing, the next push, the next effort is transitioning from Patreon to our sole in-house. Honestly, how do we even want to phrase it?
Just organically on our website, so we're not pushing people off our website, you know what I mean? So,
well, the awesome thing is it enables people, it's going to enable people right there in-house from beerarmy.org to be a part of a Beer Army as a super soldier.
Well, what we want to do is we want everything to be resident on the website so that you don't have to go to another site and be like, oh, this, that, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. So, but the problem is on the back end of that, to take subscribers like and pledgers, you know, on the financial piece of that is, you know, credit card encryption and making sure things are protected. Like, we had the Ashley Madison hack or whatever, and all that stuff got released. Well, obviously you want to make sure your website's secure and all that kind of crap. And, but at the same time, we got to do a full court press because we want to get it done before we go out to GABF so that we're directing people to the right place. And then we're going to get these scholarships, the thank you letters out there so people can read it because we want people to feel inspired and
oh, they are. You can't help but
that, you know, I think we're doing good work, you know. I think we're being our brother's keeper, you know, keepers of our community and stuff like that. And, you know, I know that as we get ready to move into our office spaces, which I know you got a chance to finally check out.
Oh, I'm amped for that, man.
And you got to see the new, what would be your new studio space. You know, I really think that's going to enable us to grow the Beer Army Foundation from, I would consider we're probably more of a state level organization to a national level organization and do cool things with.
That evolution's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
And I'm really excited for the ride. And I really appreciate all those that have, you know, have stepped up and supported us. So, but it, you know, it's easier said than done. It's, you got to put 1 foot in front of the other. That's the only way you go forward. But, yeah, man. I mean, sometimes it feels like a damn free fall, and you're like, do I have a parachute on?
No, don't ask me about it. When, you know, having the moment of feeling like you want to jump but don't have a parachute.
Yeah, yeah. No. Hey, you only got to be brave for a couple of seconds. I just heard that recently, and there was a poster. I saw it, and the person's jumping off a cliff. It said, you only have to be brave for the first couple of seconds. It said, everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. I'm thinking, yeah.
It's true. It's getting past the initial insanity to make that choice.
Well, you know, speaking of which, being brave just for a couple of seconds, I think it goes right into our next segment here.
Absolutely,
it really hits it right on the head as far as you just got to be brave for a couple of seconds. And I'm really excited the audio excerpts that you captured instead of us playing, like usually we do a whole like a news clip or whatever, but since it's three individuals, three different quotes, and I'll let you take it away because I don't want to circumvent it. But
no, it's absolutely awesome, and it's one of those things. Yes, it only does take a couple seconds to be brave. Once you start the and put everything in motion, yeah, everything will unfold. But the thing is that in this crazy world, it doesn't matter where you are, who you're with, or what unfolds. When everything goes to crap and something needs to be done, you absolutely never know who's going to step in the gap.
This week, normally we have like one individual, we've done groups, we've done, you know, animals, we've done, you know, all kinds of different heroes from all different walks of life. But in this situation, I'm sure you heard about the speeding bullet train of France and the mm-hmm. three Americans that were over there. And they basically, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this asshole's name. And he's an asshole. And, you know, but he's a Moroccan national. And his DNA, this is what pisses me off. It was already on file with Spanish authorities. I'm sure it was on file for a reason. You know, I'm sure he wasn't like, what would we call it? A person of interest? I'm sure he was probably elevated above a person of interest.
He was already, from, I'm not mistaken, he was already with the French intelligence, was already labeled a terrorist.
Well, that's senior European counterterrorism officials told, you know, reported that this suspect was linked to investigations in radical Islamic networks. Well, then, you know, like, what the fuck, man? So what we're talking about is last week, again, there was a high-speed bullet train, and there's this guy. He was carrying a Luger automatic pistol. He was carrying an AK with 9 magazines of ammunition. For those that don't understand, you know, you're talking about, 250 rounds just in your AK plus the pistol. And then he had a box cutter. I guess he used all of his money for his AK. He didn't come buy a knife or whatever, but... And he attempted to attack a packed high-speed passenger train. And these are reports from in France, because this happened in France. And, you know, with that kind of firepower, you don't think that's a lot, but guess what, man? I mean, you start spraying and praying.
In close quarters on a small train?
Yeah, AK, 7.62. I mean, that has a lot of velocity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the massacre could have occurred. However, no. We had three American friends that were traveling together. And then there also was a British passenger, and they basically tackled, beat the shit out of this guy or whatever. One of the Americans, we're going to hear a quote here shortly, Spencer Stone, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. He was injured because he got cut with his damn box cutter or whatever. But I know you play it, the quote, but the thing is, if you remember from the plane that terminated in Pennsylvania during the 9/11 attacks, what the Let's Roll. They mm-hmm. said, hey, let's roll, because he was talking to his family. And then it was still on, and he said, okay, let's roll. And I know that when we deployed, one of the guys painted that on his plane, let's roll. Wow. I always thought that was pretty cool. But in this case, he didn't say let's roll. No, he's like, let's go. And I thought that was so badass. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's Airman First Class Spencer Stone talking about stopping this terrorist on that Paris-bound train from Amsterdam. And this is, according to him, this is when they're 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
2 seconds to be brave.
Brave, yeah.
When they acted in those 2 seconds and started this initiation to stop this terrorist.
I kind of just woke up from the middle of a deep sleep, and my friend Alec was sitting next to me. Anthony was across to my right side, and I turned around and I saw he had what looked to be an AK-47, and he looked like it was jammed or it wasn't working, and he was trying to charge the weapon, and Alec just hit me on the shoulder and said, let's go, and ran down, tackled him. We hit the ground. Alec came up and grabbed the gun out of his hand while I put him in a chokehold.
Wow.
So it was Alec.
He's a National Guardsman. This is what's really cool, is it's multiple services.
Yeah,
you have an Air Force service member, and you have an Army National Guard service member.
That's right. So Spencer Stone is the Air Force. And then Alec, I'm going to slaughter your name, dude. Sorry about it. But Scarletos, he's a member of the Oregon National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anthony Sadler, he's, I believe, a junior in college. I'm not sure where he's going to school at, but so it was pretty badass that Alec tapped Spencer and said, let's go. I mean,
you find your window of opportunity.
And the thing is, for those that know the AK, I mean, I can imagine in my head, he's trying to unjam it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, thank God that, in this case, this asshole is stupid that he didn't do his weapons prep to make sure everything was functioning or whatever beforehand. But yeah, man, I mean, that's a hairy situation, bro.
Well, the craziest thing is that we have Spencer telling us that, you know, he wakes up from
a deep sleep. Yeah.
Alex taps him and says, let's go.
Right.
And it's interesting to hear that account from Spencer, but yet from Alec.
Yeah.
Scarlatos, this is how he described the whole thing and what it felt like.
We were scared for sure, but I mean, adrenaline mostly just took over because, I mean, I didn't even have time to think. I didn't even realize or fully comprehend what was going on. I honestly didn't even believe it. It felt like it was a dream or a movie or something. Like, even now looking back, like, I realize what happened and what we did, but it just feels like a dream. I mean, it feels unreal.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, just like we say, you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Yeah.
And this dives into that even further, is you never know what's going to motivate somebody to step in the gap, whether it be something needs to be done, or maybe somebody's looking further down the picture to objectively looking at, if I don't stop this, this is what's going to happen. But for him, it's just... he's saying it just felt like a dream. He knew something needed to be done.
Right. And the cool thing is that even though two of the three are service members, the other one's a college student. That, you know, I know that we think like, oh, are we a veterans type organization, you know, nonprofit? No, we're not. And I think that Anthony Sadler sums it up that any climb, any place, hey, anybody can be, it doesn't have to be military affiliated, man, you know? It just can be.
It doesn't. No.
You just have to step in that gap. Like you always say, you just have to care and say, I am not going to be a victim today. You know,
yeah, and that's the lesson he wants everybody to learn from this. And here's Anthony Sadler talking about the actions taken by him and his two other friends.
I want the lesson to be learned that hiding or sitting back is not going to accomplish anything. And the gunman would have been successful if my friend Spencer had not gotten up. So I just want that lesson to be learned going forward. In times of like terror like that, to please do something. Don't just stand by and watch.
You know what I say?
Mm.
Anthony Sadler for president, baby. You know what I'm saying? Because this guy gets it.
Yeah.
He's only, you know, young 20 something. He gets it. You don't sit by, idly by. And that should be everybody, every, not just American, anybody from, if you're a human being, you should take that to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like something? Do something about it. You don't like your lot in life? Get engaged. You don't like what's going around you? Get engaged, mm-hmm. You know? It's awesome, man. It's just awesome.
And the thing that blows my mind was when you look at this through the entirety of their actions, what they did and how powerful and how just exactly what they prevented. And then you think about all the other reports of terrorism in different parts of the world where a single lone terrorist was able to enact so much damage, carnage, and violence. And you think about what could have been with this. It's hard not to get chills.
Yeah, no. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind it could have been a very bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very thankful that you know, these three individuals, regardless of the fact that they're Americans, you know, from the U.S., obviously we're from the U.S., but if you're listening, consuming this podcast and you're from another country, we're not, we'll thump our chest a little bit, but I'm just glad that somebody decided not to sit idly by, man.
This has nothing to do with nationality. This has everything to do with your fellow man. That's what it boils down to me.
Yeah, definitely. But,
wow, thanks for bringing that story up, man.
Well, thank you for finding the sound bites.
Well, we were just dual tracking. We just happened to be tracking and didn't know it. But make sure you do stick around. We're going to dive into some real, real interesting stuff to get to on the program, as we're going to bring a bit of lighthearted fare to it, I think, unless you bring up another military anti-military related.
I do kind of have one, but it's not bad. But the one, you know, this whole Confederate flag, it's gotten out of control, bro. The whole thing. It's gotten to a point where we have a school now banning all flags to include the American flag.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God. Well, I've got an interesting story of a Florida woman flashing her breasts in court. And as well, how about a Philadelphia cop trying to shake down a motorist?
Nice.
Yeah. It's crazy. So make sure you keep your seats. We got our You Come to See segment coming up.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters. It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Right, Ron Burgundy. It's a good beer.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
It's time to lighten the load there, buddy.
Always.
Yeah. We gotta laugh because it's amazing it's how fact can be stranger than fiction sometimes.
It is.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, let's get to all that stuff you just can't make up in this crazy world. It's time to yick 'em to sue.
So, Mick, we teased it coming out or coming into the break, and how do you ban the flying of a flag on a public school? I'm still just kind of blown away, but a Tennessee school district thought that was the right answer in Dixon County, especially after the summer of controversy surrounding the Confederate flag. They thought it was wise that the best thing to do would be to ban all flags. And students have supposedly been told that if they bring a flag, they'll get in trouble. They'll get in trouble.
So wait a minute. Let me get this right. This whole Confederate flag controversy, they thought the best course of action in lieu of this was not just banning one flag like the Confederate flag, but banning every flag?
I guess so. So the local news affiliate captured it here. So let me just play this little snippet for you.
A Tennessee school district is banning all flags. That includes Old Glory. The only flag you will see at Dixon County Schools is the one you're about to see here. So school leaders decided after a summer of controversy surrounding the Confederate flag, the wise thing to do would be to ban all flags and banners. Now, some students are angry. They feel their patriotism is being compromised. But school leaders say there is a right and wrong way to show American pride.
It's not an unpatriotic act by any means, because we have a number of ways in which students do learn how to be patriotic and express American pride.
I just think that they shouldn't be able to, that's like a right you can't. You can't, it's like a freedom of expression, and I don't think that you should be able to take that away from us.
They're all weighing in. Well, students say they were told they would get kicked out if they bring an American flag onto school property. So far, our school leaders say they have not had any issues.
What?
The thing is,
what? Did you hear that guy right? He said that there are other ways to show your patriotism other than flying the American flag.
I guess like obeying the rules. I don't know. But I just want to point out,
what a freaking pansy ass
for tool. For our listeners or whatever, definitely watch the video, because the irony is that when they were interviewing him, there's an American flag flying in the background of the shot of this school official talking. And so I just like, what the hell, man?
Wow.
It's bizarro world, dude. It's just bizarro world. Like, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I don't even know what to say. I don't even think we need to go on a tangent here on this one, because
total idiot.
Yeah.
Total idiot. My God. I'm sorry, but that's like saying you want to ban a certain pair of shoes, but not to single out those shoes. You just ban every shoe.
Yeah.
Kids have to go to school barefoot.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't want to upset anybody in general that had the shoes we actually wanted to ban, so we just banned every shoe.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Man.
Like massive carpet bombing. It's like,
way to show kids how to make life choices,
right?
You know.
Or have leadership, or have integrity, or have backbone to stand up for the right thing, and you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
PC, man.
Well, I know the cops are taking a beating in the news.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of stuff that's, there are more good apples than there are bad apples.
Well, I think you and I agree, man. You got to call people out. If they're messed up, you got to call them out.
Yeah, you
got
to call them out. Right. And I'm about to call out a Philadelphia cop who's been put on administrative leave after he was caught on tape threatening to impound a man's car if he didn't purchase tickets to a police fundraiser. This is no joke, people. Pay attention.
You and your friend got any money by these thorough show tickets? Support your police department? $10 each, man. Either you buy these, or I take your car, because it's unregistered. $10 each, man. Bucks. Support your police department, man. You got any kids?
I do not.
Do you have any kids? You got any sweetheart?
Yeah.
You t-
take.
I'd rather take my girl than this guy.
It looks like you want to look like two fruitcakes, you know. That's yeah.
So yeah.
Fruitcakes. Wow.
So shaking him down.
Yeah. Oh. I'm sure it happens a lot more than we realize.
But the kicker here is this guy that he pulled over, that was pulled over, right? Yeah. Yeah. And was being shaken down to buy tickets for a police fundraiser.
Yeah.
Had pink windshield wiper blades.
Okay.
For breast cancer awareness.
Yeah, sure.
Got right? It.
Yeah.
Well, this cop took issue and threw a homophobic slur at him.
Really?
Yeah, because of this.
What's up with the wipers?
Breast cancer, man. My grandma went through it.
Breast cancer, I can understand. But can't you support breast cancer in another way? Like a fruitcake. You know? The hell?
Wow. Jesus. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, see, that's unfortunate because guys like him give cops a bad name, man. You know,
I support our law enforcement, those that do their job day in and day out. They have a true sense of community, and they're just there to serve and protect.
Well, I mean, I like the bust balls. I could see in that situation, maybe you pull somebody over and you got like a rapport going. I wouldn't have thrown out the whatever the bleeped out gay or homo or whatever, you know, words that they use for pink, you know, windshield wipers. But if I had a rapport going, I could say like, yeah, man, what's up? You know, because that's the type of guy I am or whatever. But if I was a public officer, probably not but with my friends like you, I bust your balls all the time about whatever, or House Mouse Scott or whatever, you know, but the but to be shaken down before that and then to go into that, that is very condescending, arrogant, pretentious. I mean, that's like, wow, dude, you got some big ass balls.
Well, this is how easily he did it.
Yeah, without even missing a beat.
No, it just blows my mind. Is that really? Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but that does not show any level of integrity.
Yeah, no, you don't want that guy in the street, I don't think. So, I don't know. What else you got over there?
Boobs.
Boobs? I like
boobs. Well, I don't have boobs, but I've got a very interesting story of boobs.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah. Speaking of the police, what's a good way you think to back up your claim of police brutality?
Police brutality? I would show bruises, you know, like if I got hit or something or thrown down, or that's what I would do. I mean,
well, how about showing your boobs?
Well, did the boobs? What?
Let's get a little of this. A self-described escort arrested on disorderly intoxication charge in Florida flashed her breast to a judge to back up her claims of police brutality. Her name's Susan Marie Surrettes, 54 years old. I don't know how saggy those boobs were, but...
And she's an escort?
Yeah, apparently.
54-year-old escort.
She appeared via video feed in the judge's courtroom and told the judge she works as a hairdresser, but has another job under another name, Kayla Cupcakes. So she complained about her treatment at the hands of police. She said she'd been beaten up. Also, this too. And then she lifted her shirt to expose her breasts. And then you know what the judge said?
What?
Oh, my Lord. That's all he said. The suspect's attorney told the judge suffers from a medical condition. That this woman suffers from a medical condition.
Well, if she was doing it by video feed, I'm assuming she was already in jail or something, or... Or a psychiatric ward. Or something.
But that's the interesting thing is that I don't know whether or not she was in jail, but she's. Probably she was because it was via video.
Yeah, I can't imagine any other. Hopefully she's in a psych ward.
Well, hopefully she gets the help she needs because her attorney said she needs help. And she's not going to get it in jail.
She sounds like a real cupcake.
Yeah, exactly. It's like. That's go-to excuse for anything, man. Yeah, you want to put the nail in the coffin on an argument? Just flash your boobs, ladies. That's it.
54
police brutality, really?
Yeah, 54-year-old.
Bam.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus.
Well, that's going to do it here for Beer Army Engaged.
Already,
another great show and another great beer.
Yeah, actually, next week will be 1 year, our 1 year anniversary doing this show, dude.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, rock out with your gourd rocker.
And don't forget, if you're anywhere in the North Carolina area, be out at Double Barley in Smithfield, North Carolina for the release of Gourd Rocker.
That's
their
right.
Pumpkin beer. Pumpkin porter, actually.
That's right. And please, definitely, if you're in New Bern area, you know, again, Eastern North Carolina, please swing on by the Beer Army Burger Company. Check us out there. Hit us up. Also, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, what else am I forgetting? YouTube and, you know.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
And, pledge your support. And we appreciate it all. And without you, we just couldn't do it. We really couldn't.
No, and it's, I mean, we really enjoy doing this. It's doing great things all to the power of beer. And thanks for being a part of it. We will catch you next week.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.